So from some forthcoming attractions for another time, I started this week, I was going to minister out of Luke chapter 4, where Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, has anointed me, but kind of like that changed. So, if you have your Bibles, go anywhere, and we're going to find something. So we've been speaking about purpose. And I trust that what we're speaking about and how we're unfolding the word is going to ignite something on the inside of us. So for some of us that feel like a square peg in a round hole, all of a sudden life's going to have meaning. Amen. Amen. So just a quick review. Purpose means knowing the reason why I exist. You are not a mistake. That you were created by God for a specific purpose. The reason why you're alive now is because God, the way God put you together, is that He needs you now. And God made us with a purpose and for a purpose. And if we want to build anything significant, we have to have focus. And that's what we spoke about last week. And we hung on Romans 4:21, being fully, we're going to say it until we're all there, being fully persuaded. The enemy wants to bat us around all over the place, but God wants to get us to a place where we are fully persuaded. It doesn't matter how hot the fire gets, He's in the fire with us. That's it. So we're fully persuaded. So tonight I want to speak about purpose is doing what I should be doing. Purpose is doing what I should be doing. My doing is connected to my being. And my being is connected to what I am filling myself with. I'm going to say that again. My doing is connected to my being, who I am. And my being is connected to what I am filling myself with. If you are putting dirty water into a glass, whoever drinks from there is going to be drinking dirty water. But if we are filling the glass with clean, crisp, nice, fresh water, whoever drinks from it is going to be refreshed. Okay, so I want you to imagine your life is that glass, and whatever you're filling yourself with, somebody's going to drink from that. And I declare you are a refreshing stream of life wherever you go. I say, so Deuteronomy chapter 10, reading from verse 12. And it says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, number one, to walk in obedience to Him, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. How many of you sometimes, people ask something from you and think, my goodness, that's a serious burden. But once you have done it, you get to realize it was good for me. Even though it was hard at the moment, it was good for me. I'll give you an example. Born in Zimbabwe, well, born Rhodesia, went through the change to Zimbabwe. I never ever wanted to leave Zimbabwe. I loved the country. I loved the people. I loved everything. And this was my conversation. Jesus, I never want to move to South Africa. And then on top of that, I went through Johannesburg once and I said, Lord, if there's by any chance that I move to South Africa, that's the last place I ever want to live in my life. Guess where the first stop was? God's got an amazing sense of humor. And here's the crazy thing. I survived. And then I learned to drive. I thought I knew to drive before then, but no. Sheesh. It really would have been good if Google had the Google Maps in those days, because we still had those duck books that you had to try and find your thing. And then the road goes off the page, and now you're traveling in traffic, and you're trying to find where you are, and it says, go to page. And it's not like the next page. It's like 10 pages on. You've got to try and find the thing. Oh, Lord, help us. Jeez. So Deuteronomy regularly repeats this statements: love the Lord your God, keep His requirements, keep His decrees, keep His laws, and keep His commandments. And in Deuteronomy 11:13, so if you faithfully obey the commands I give you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart, not part of it, But to serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rain, so that you may gather in your grain new wine and olive oil. James, I want to tell you where you, James. The man, James Young, he's gone. He's looking after kids. There he is over there. You can hear me over there. Brew, we really rejoice with the victory that you have. And I want to declare to you that because you've been faithful, you are reaping what this one is saying. Because you have loved God, because you have kept on serving Him, God has seen that you have put Him number one, and therefore He's honored you. And I declare over your life today, lots is coming. Lots is coming. The favor of God's going to be upon you. Not because you're better than anybody else. It's just because you're doing this. He's going to bring rain on you. And I want to say that to every single one of us, that when we will serve God with our whole heart, He will bring rain on you. There will be drought. It didn't say there wasn't going to be a drought. There will be drought. But the rain is coming. The rain is coming. Come on, say that over your life. The rain is coming. Deuteronomy 11:22, if you carefully observe these commands I give you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience in Him and hold fast to Him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Now I know that every single one of us in here are fighting battles. And that's the promise, that if we will keep on serving God, that He will help us drive out nations that are stronger than us. So if you are asked, what does it mean to be a Christian? This is it. Love the Lord with your entire being. Don't add Jesus to your life. Let Jesus be your life. There's a big difference. You see, adding Jesus to your life is that when it's convenient, I serve Him. But when there's something else that kind of like tickles my fancy, then I'd rather go and do that than rather do what He's asked me to do. But if I will seek first, Matthew 6:33, His kingdom and His righteousness, then all these other things will be added to me. The problem is, my life was like that at this age. I used to seek the things and then hoping the Lord will bless. No, I seek the Lord and then the blessings follow. So that has never changed. So the religious leaders coming to Jesus now, the religious leaders were questioning Jesus about the greatest commandment, and we're picking it up in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And Jesus says this, you're going to hear these words again, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself, and this is no there is no command greater than this. So the love that Jesus is speaking about here is what love? There's four different words in the Greek word. Agape, phileo, storge, eros. Which one is he speaking about here? Does anybody know? Agape love. It's the God kind of love. It's a sacrificial love. But you see, many of us, we want to serve Him with the phileo love. I do it because it's a great attraction. Church is not an attraction. Church is a way of life. Serving God is a way of life. He's become the very center of what I do. And until that thing until He doesn't have the center part of my life will go into chaos. So agape is loving Him with everything that I'm made of. My mind, my will, my emotions. It's loving Him with purpose and on purpose. It's loving Him by choice. I choose to love Him. I want to use an illustration now, but I think I'm going to leave that illustration alone. Love Him sacrificially. Here's the great deal. Those of you that married will understand this. Is it always easy to love your partner? For some of us, like Kevin and Mandy, I mean, they are like so saved, it's like easy for them. But for some of us, it's a hard work. Why? Because we seem to be like rough edges. Okay, so I think I'm not as prickly as I used to be. I think, my darling, yeah. Okay, so in the beginning, we almost used to have like Third World War in our home. You know, it was like a little bit rough. But after years of us rubbing each other the right way, love has become a little bit. Love has become easier. Okay, but it was a sacrifice because when everything was like tense and going tough, it is hard to keep living Christian principles in that thing. You want to just like say what's on your mind, and you want to. I know I'm not talking to you because you're a bunch of holy people, but. Here's the next thing. Love him with obedience. Love him with obedience. You see, when I'm loving him with obedience, it's not because it's not because I feel like I want to do this thing. No, he tells me to do it, so therefore I do it. And that is like the bottom line over here. And so what does that mean? What does loving him mean? It means I'm not putting anything before him. He is number one. He is the very reason why I love. So Jesus says, love the Lord your God. And the first one is with your whole heart. With your whole heart. Now, in the Hebrew, when you speak about heart, it basically speaks about the core of your identity. The core of your identity. How many of us, we struggle to find who we are? Because life has smacked us and we got bruised and we've been disappointed and all that kind of stuff. And eventually, you actually don't even know who you are and you're trying to find out who you are. And here, when I serve God, I serve him because he's my identity. And that's the thing that heals me, is when I realize who I am is what he says I am. I am his son. You are his daughter. We are his children. I am not an orphan. I am not a hireling. I am not an outsider trying to land somewhere. I belong. I belong. And here's the deal. When we come together as a congregation like this, you can worship as an orphan. You can worship as an outsider, just standing. Or you can push in and be a son and a daughter. Now, that's not a feeling. That is a feeling that you've got to deal with, and you've got to position yourself as a son. Is this making sense? That's why Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. In other words, be very intentional with this, for out of it springs the issues of life. So you're going to engage or not engage depending on how you're keeping your heart. I don't know about you, but my heart can go wayward. So that's the King James Version. The NIV, it says, above all else. Above all else. In other words, this thing is so important. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Some of you have found it very easy to come and worship here when you've had a bad week. The fact that you haven't answered means you've experienced that. It becomes tough. So he says that the first thing, love the Lord with all your heart. The second he says, love the Lord with all your soul. Now, this has to do with my emotions. Can I say this about us as Christians? Do you want to reach the hurting and the broken? Then reach them with feelings. Do you know what I mean by that? Seek to understand what it feels like for them, so that when you speak, you don't speak from I'm a better than you, but you speak from a place of you hurting, I understand that, and I want to be the bridge that you can walk on. Is that okay? You see, you and I were created that way. And if we look at Jesus' life, when Lazarus died, and the Bible says that Jesus loved Lazarus, and he goes to raise him from the dead, and when they show him where the grave is in John 11:35, the shortest verse in the Bible says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And I want to speak to us a little bit in the sense of, when was the last time we showed emotion? You see, we've become very good at putting up fronts and putting up walls. And why have we got there? We've got there because we have been hurt. We have been disappointed. People have betrayed us. And it hurts. And who likes being hurt? No one. So what happens is we go into this mode of, I'm going to protect myself, and so I build up this wall. I will let you that close, but I'm not going to let you close enough to hurt me again. And then that overflows. So remember Proverbs says, guard your heart, because out of it flows all these things. So what happens is we come, and now all of a sudden we need to be vulnerable with God, but we have built these walls up because we just don't trust anybody anymore. And therefore, we go so far and we don't get any further. We don't get any closer. And therefore, we don't get the breakthrough. And so we need to be like the word that Carl brought about the lady with the issue of blood. She put her life on the line and she broke through. She said, because if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. I know I'll be healed. Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26. It says this, then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. But the disciples fell asleep. That in that moment when Jesus was so vulnerable, his disciples never picked it up. And they were tired. In Psalm 126 verse 5, it says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. There are moments that life is going to get difficult. Are we all okay? There's going to be moments that life get difficult. And you know what? You might shed tears and nobody knows. Because that's what we do. We never show ourselves. We don't like to let ourselves be shown as weak. But God says, I see every tear that falls. I see every tear that falls. So all of us are guilty that when we've been hurt, we cut off our emotions, we keep our distance, and we don't allow ourselves to be vulnerable, and we don't allow people close. But here's the deal. If we're going to be family, we're going to have to break those walls down. We're going to have to break them down. And we're going to build relationships. We're going to have to allow somebody in. And if we're going to become good, we become good at going through the motions without emotion. We just do it. We stand there and we walk in and, oh, that was a good sing-along, and we walk away, where that actually should have been a moment where we touched heaven. And you could have been there because the person right next to you did. But because you've put these barriers around, you never got there. And you just sang. And it was good. But it never did what it should have. See, if we don't allow emotions to be healed, it is going to hijack us. It's going to take us out of the game. It's going to limit us. And we're going to wrongly interpret things. That's what when we are hurting, we read things. And we're interpreting them wrong. And it makes you more. You see, the enemy knows how to set us up so that we read things wrong, we position ourselves wrong, and it just keeps driving us further and further away. And that's why we have to get ourselves back again. And that's why the Bible says that we need to love him with all our soul. The third one is love him with all our mind. Love him with all our mind. Mind speaks of thinking. It speaks of planning. It speaks of making decisions. So last week, when I was speaking about being focused, and in James 1:6, it says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. So I do the park run on a Saturday, and I'm part of the park run that runs on the Big Bay Beach. And what's so amazing is that sometimes the sea can be like a lake. It's just flat. There's no wind. It's absolutely amazing. And the next time, it can be worse than a washing machine. The wind's just kind of like made it all crazy, and the wind's is bashing against the rocks, and the spray is all high, and all those kind of things. And in Romans 4:21, remember the scripture I used last week? But being fully persuaded. Being fully persuaded. In other words, have you heard that thing, I've made up my mind? Have you ever got to that place? You've made up your mind? And even though you know this is wrong, but I've made up my mind. So when our life is in chaos, and the problem is that all these things are like dominoes that affect each other. So when I'm not in a good place emotionally, then I get to a place where I make decisions, but they become bad decisions. And therefore, I've made up my mind, and that, in other words, it's given me focus, and there's a determination on the inside. But if I make good, godly decisions, when I am focused like that, then what I'm doing is I'm reducing my options, I'm cutting out the other voices, and I'm pushing myself forward in the right direction. But if I'm not in a good place, then I am doing all those things. I'm cutting out the voices that I should be hearing that's giving me good counsel, and I'm making bad decisions, and therefore it keeps pushing me in the wrong direction. I hope this is helping you. So in other words, what happens is my mind becomes the battlefield. And in Proverbs 23:7 it says, As he thinks in his heart, so is he. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity, the obedience of Christ. So our mind can take us out of the game. How many of you, don't put up your hand, how many of you have had a conversation with yourself on the way in the car going to see somebody? And you actually answered yourself as well. I do that regularly. And here's the last thing, is that once I'm there, and obviously you're praying, say, Jesus, please, but you know, but your brain is kind of like putting up all the possible arguments, and you defending them, and all that kind of stuff. And then I love it when God intervenes and nothing goes according to how you pre-planned this thing in the car on the way there. So our mind can take us out of the game, and it can take us out of the game very quickly. And so where there is doubt and unbelief, doubt and unbelief is incubated by my unrestrained thinking. I'm going to say that again. Doubt and unbelief is incubated by my unrestrained thinking. You might have a right to think certain things, but because God's word doesn't allow me to do it, I cut those things and I stop them. And I turn those thinkings rather into, Father, I praise you. And he says, bless your enemies. And so you start to pray for them, that God would move upon their life, that God would bless them, that God would increase their territory. And you change the thing that the enemy would want to use it as a tool against you, and you use it as a tool against him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the last thing is with all your strength. With all your strength. We're going to be breaking bread. And I really sensed in my heart that God wanted to deal with some of these things in our personal life. Because the enemy has had the gateway to harass us. And tonight as we break bread, we're closing those things in Jesus' name. And then we're going to take those things, and we're not going to allow them to operate, so that when my heart goes fraught, I make sure I bring my heart fraught. Is that, what's a good English word for that? Rotten. It doesn't sound as nice, though. And when when my soul, my emotions are running wild, I talk to myself. David spoke to himself, soul, why are you so downcast? You talk to yourself. I know people think you're crazy, but it's okay. You talk to yourself. You talk to your emotions. You bring them under control. When your mind is running over, you have to physically grab those things and take them captive. You've got to check. You can't think of nothing. Your brain is never thought to, made to think of nothing. You've got to be thinking of something. So you can't just, you've got to change what you're thinking. And therefore you choose to think what God's word says. And you remind yourself, what does the Lord require of you? Was right the very first scripture that we spoke. What does the Lord require of me in this moment? I'm sure Jesus had to arrest many of his thinkings. That's maybe not good English either. But when the Pharisees and the Sadducees were around, I think he had to arrest a lot of his thinking. But anyway, the last one. Love the Lord with all my strength. That speaks of being physically energetic. Life produces life. And death produces death. You can walk into an environment, a conversation, and you can be so excited about life, and everybody there is so negative about life. When you leave that circle, you don't feel as excited as when you got to that circle. Why? Because we become affected by the environment that we're in. So John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, to destroy. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it to the full. So man, I become like an ever-ready battery in a rabbit. I just got a lot of energy. Why? Because Jesus produces life inside of me. I'm excited about life. You see, when I take these things off, and you look fine, but when I look over there, it doesn't look fine anymore. So when I'm in the right place, it's like I've got these glasses on and I'm seeing things differently. I need to keep putting on my spiritual glasses and I need to be seeing things differently. So that was the NIV. New King James Version says, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. I love those words. Is there anybody that doesn't want abundant life yet? All of you. Okay. You never heard the question. Is there anybody that doesn't want abundant life? No. All of us want abundant life. We would like that. So the question is, can I see where there's life? Who wants to be, I need two people that don't mind, you know, Afrikaans, they say, slaan your naam at a plank. You know what that means? Mess your name up. I need two people to be an illustration of you. Who's brave enough? Who's brave? James, come on. Come on, I need somebody else. Ludwig, come on. Okay, you and Craig. Okay, so James, you've been up here already with a microphone. You can go and sit down. I'll get Ludwig, come. Yeah, just keep all the microphones. So the assignment is there a sport that you like? Squash, okay. Do you like squash? Yeah. Do you know anything about squash?
Not really. No.
Okay, cool. No. So here's the deal. Ludwig, he likes squash, okay? Craig's got no clue about squash. Right, so I'm going to ask them to tell me how much they love squash. I want you to listen to the difference. So let's start with Craig.
Well, squash is amazing. So you can totally get your fitness up, hand and eye coordination, play with friends, on your own. It's an all-round sport. I mean, come on.
Right, so squash is a great sport where, what I love about squash, Squash is a place that is that you can work out some of your aggression without there being any damage to anybody else. So you get to hit this ball as hard as you possibly can. It's an amazing game of space and time, and it's a game for people that don't have patience. So if you constantly want to go, you can get your 300 vitality points in half an hour without even trying. Everything goes out of your mind when you play the game. It's just you and the ball and your opponent. I mean, I can carry on talking for it, but I'll stop there.
Okay, so in a level of enthusiasm between the two? Okay, so thank you, guys. But I'm going to give you my version of squash now, because I love squash. I love the adrenaline. I love placing that ball when you hit it and you try and get it into the back corner and you fool the guy. You don't even know where. You can bounce the ball off the different walls so he doesn't even know where the thing's going. What's the difference? What's the difference between, okay, this is Craig. Craig did well, okay? But you can see this thing's not alive in him. Did I do a bit of a better job? Did Ludwig do a bit of a better job? Okay, so in other words, what happens when Jesus said, I came to give you life, when you communicate about this thing, there must be life in you. If this thing's not alive in you, then what are you going to tell people? People don't run after, and so they were. Can you imagine listening to a commentator? So he got the ball and he ran and he put a try down. So, they got another 3 points. That's amazing. South Africa's actually doing very well today. But you listen to this commentator, man, I mean, I'm almost sure they're spitting over the microphone the way they're trying to get all those words out at the same time. What am I trying to say to you is that you need to understand that when Jesus came, he came to give you life. So when I worship him, I love him so much. I am so grateful for what he's done for me. I can't give him just a little. Is anybody else in the room that kind of like, you there? If your calling is to be part of the praise and worship team, then you need to be oozing the life of Jesus as you're doing this thing, because this should be part of your DNA. Are we kind of like there? And so when he says, love me with all your strength, he's asking, will you? He doesn't teach us about clapping and jumping and shouting and all that kind of stuff. For what? To give us more knowledge? Or maybe is he giving us some tools that we can use to magnify his name and make the devil mad? Let's make the devil mad. Now, where am I? So I want to put Romans 4:21 in there. When you and I are worshiping, when you and I are sharing, we're talking to somebody about Jesus, are we doing Romans 4:21? I'm being fully persuaded. He is the answer in your situation. It doesn't make sense to you right now, but he is the answer. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life, he's the everything. He's the breath that you breathe. May the passion and the excitement of life that we carry be one thing that people will catch. That'll say, I don't want to serve this Jesus that you're serving. Here's a question. Do we think love is connected to knowledge? Do we think love is connected to knowledge? The answer is yes. Paul teaches us this in Philippians 1:9. He says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight. That your love would abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. So the more we get to know him, the more our love will flow. It's like when we got married, we thought we knew each other. And here, by the way, it's freebie for everybody's getting married. You think you know each other, but you've got no clue. It's only when the day you say, I do, that you're going to start to find out things that you never knew. And then life's an adventure after that one. It's wonderful. So the reality is we don't have the capacity to love the God the way we should. And that's why God the Father sent his son Jesus to come and live on the inside of us so that he does and he helps us do that. I don't have the capacity. And that's why he says in John 6 verse 46, no one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. And then in John 14, Jesus is telling his disciples, listen, there's coming a time, I'm going away. And he picks up in verse 4, he says, you know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where we go, where you're going. So how do we know the way? And then Jesus says, I am the way, truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. For you really know me. And you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. And Jesus says, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been around you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? I pray that as we live our life, we will show the Father. We will demonstrate the kingdom of heaven that people will see from our life and everything else. So we have to remind ourselves, John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave. And you and I will never be able to experience the fullness of God if we are not going to be in a place where we give. Give of ourselves. And in Mark 12:30, landing as we're going to break bread. Love the Lord. Mark 12:30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Heart reminding us is our identity, knowing that we are sons and daughters. Our soul, letting down the guards that we've put up because of previous hurts, disappointments, unfulfilled expectations. Those things, life is going to serve to you anyway. Mind, arresting every thought that is contrary to what God's word says. And strength, allowing his life to radiate through us. My question to us tonight as we break bread, Paul writes to the Corinthian church. He says, that which I received, I passed on to you. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He broke it. He gave thanks. And he said, do this in remembrance. Remember what Jesus has done for you. You see, because life can become so tough that we forget. And we're so focused on what we're going through that we forget the hand that we're holding that's taking us through. Psalm 23 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. He comforts us. So, can I ask the two men that gave us their voices just now, Craig? I want us just to sing those words again as we prepare our heart. And then we're going to go and fetch our grape juice and our bread. And I'm asking us tonight to seriously ask ourselves this question. How is my heart? How is my soul? How is my mind? And how is my strength?